Let us now turn to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. Hear God's word. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field, and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came, and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from thence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And she fell on her face and bowed herself down to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then he said, Let me find favor. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord. For that thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she said beside the reaper, and she said beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed. And left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field unto even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up, and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned, and she brought forth, and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed is he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabite said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Thus far the reading of God's precious word. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, last week we left Naomi and Ruth, and we saw them, first of all, entering into Bethlehem, and they came home. Orpah had gone back home to Moab. That's where her home was. Naomi had to learn about the Lord's kindness and about the providing hand of the Lord. And she was home in body, but needed to come home with the Lord in soul, as we saw last week. And we wonder, as we come back to the history of Naomi and Ruth, will she learn? And then we saw that Ruth had come to the Lord in that beautiful confession, with her heart and with her life. She had said, Your people, my people, to Naomi. And then that confession about her God. Your God, my God. What a confession, with mouth and heart. But also we saw that contrast with Naomi, who said, when we think about these words, I came full, but now I am empty. Naomi, as we saw, looked at what she didn't have and at the circumstances. Despite that, we saw that she came to Bethlehem in the time of the barley harvest, a time of hope, a time in which God would show His providence and His provision and His care. In a time when He would show that He is their Heavenly Father who provides and knows what is good for each one of His children. But this morning, children, we are going to look at Ruth. And though Naomi said, I was full and now I'm empty, we're going to see that for Ruth, it went the other way. I had empty hands, and the Lord filled them. And the Lord filled them. May that be our experience this morning as well. Will He provide? Maybe that's your question. Will He protect? And if so, how? We come to our text, and we hear a wonderful prayer. A prayer uttered by Boaz. We could say it's a prayer. Maybe we could also read it as it is. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord. Ruth 1 verse 12. The Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You could also read, may the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. So our theme in the Lord's providence is gleaning under the Lord's wings. First of all, Ruth gleaning in the field. Boaz coming to the field, secondly. And then finally, Ruth coming from the field. So last week, we heard that beautiful confession. Children, do you still know? Your God is my God. Your people is my people. And then we read here these words of Boaz. And he says, may a full recompense and full reward be given of thee from the Lord. Now, children and young people, do you think that that was on Ruth's mind that day about reward? That morning when she was about to go to the fields? I don't think that was on her mind. I think she had come with empty hands, children, empty hands. Nothing. There she stood next to her mother-in-law, Naomi. And what a situation she was in. She was a stranger. She was an outsider. She didn't belong to the people of Bethlehem. She doesn't know anybody in Bethlehem. And when you think about her situation, children, it's not such a nice situation. She had no possessions. She didn't have a husband, which meant protection and provision in those days, that God would provide through the husband and protect her. Think about her situation for a moment. There she stands with these empty hands. She's a widow. She's a stranger. That meant in those days, wherever you were, you're most vulnerable. Most vulnerable. But God had given all kinds of gracious laws to protect those who are most vulnerable. Most vulnerable. In a time, what was the time in which he was? He was in a time everyone did what was right in their own eyes. A potentially dangerous time when we think about this young girl, a young lady, in this country, could be dangerous when everyone does what is right in their own eyes. Now, did she think about reward? No. She came there with empty hands. Where? Under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty One. She came as she had surrendered her entire life in that confession. In life and death, and not my own. She came as she had surrendered to the Lord, confessing that she belonged to his people, and she belonged to this God, of which we heard last week so beautifully, that he is that all-sufficient one who supplies the needs, every need of his people, who hears every cry of his people. That covenant Jehovah who keeps mercy and truth unto his people, who is overflowing of mercy and truth, the one who keeps his promises to 1,000 generations, the creator of heaven and earth, who upholds this world with his mere word. That one she had come to shelter under his wings. And that's the blessing, trusting him. This morning too, blessing is where? It's in him. When we hide under the shadow of his wings, he's able to bless. He's able to make his face shine. He is that glorious one of which we, with the Heidelberg Catechism, confess when we place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father. We believe that nothing can separate us from his love, because all creatures are so in his hands, the Catechism says, that without his will they cannot so much as move. All creatures, Ruth, are in his hands. Ruth had placed herself in the hands of the Almighty Lord to shelter under his wings. And she came with empty hands. Have we come this morning, wherever we are, with empty hands and say, Lord, fill my hands, fill my heart. She came in a time when everyone did what was right in their own eyes, and yet it was the time of hope. It was the time, as we read at the end of of the first chapter of this book, it was the time of the barley harvest. The barley harvest. And as we read and begin reading in this second chapter, we hear that it speaks about someone, children. Boaz, a mighty man of wealth. That means a man of standing. And he's mentioned in these first three verses twice. Verse 1 and verse 3, we hear. And this is inspired by God. This is the scriptures. God has inspired it. And when the storyteller then, we don't know exactly who wrote Ruth, but doesn't matter really, speaks twice about Boaz. It is as if the storyteller wants, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Scriptures, say to us, take note. You're going to hear more about him. But there's Ruth, still with her empty hands. Ruth didn't know about Boaz. It was not Ruth's focus. She was in this difficult circumstance and she had these empty hands. And yes, you need to eat. You need to eat. You need food. But we heard last week in that beautiful chapter, God had visited his people, giving them bread. God visits his people, and then he begins to provide for his people. But Ruth, how are you going to share in the blessing of God's people? How are you going to share, Ruth? Ruth is not passive. We see that here in verse 2. We see that God's grace already moved her to this beautiful confession. But now God's grace moves her again through the Holy Spirit. She says to Naomi, she's speaking to Naomi, let me go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace, she says in verse 2. So, the grace of God doesn't make us passive. The grace of God moves us in our need to provision. It's a humble plan. Because she doesn't do this in proud attitude. No, this is a humble plan. Let me now go into the field, she asks, and glean the ears of corn after him in whose sight I find grace. Literally, in whose sight I find favor and acceptance. She wants to find favor and acceptance. And she doesn't know how and who and where. But we need to remind ourselves as she says this to Naomi, that there was a prayer in the first chapter, a beautiful prayer. May the Lord deal kindly with you. Naomi had prayed. And that prayer was not going to go unanswered. That prayer was going to be answered. May the Lord deal kindly. And here she says something similar. May I find favor and acceptance. May I find grace. Now, God's children are often in similar situations, are they not? They come in difficult situations. And they come empty-handed. Nothing to offer, nothing in my hands I bring. We come as strangers and pilgrims in this world. The world doesn't understand us. And we listen to the word and we are called to abstain from fleshly lusts that war against our souls. And we feel weak in this battle and we need to be strengthened by the power of the Almighty. In the difficulties and trials and dangers of this world, when we have the the enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we need to be strengthened in our inner man, in our soul. We need spiritual food. And we come with our empty hands and say, Lord, fill us, fill my soul, fill my heart to overflowing. Lord, provide for us, provide for us, protect us, favor us. Lord, we come and we say this morning, may we be favored in thy eyes, O Lord. That's how we come to church. That's how we need to open our Bibles when we read our Bibles in our homes or on our own. Lord, may I be provided for. May I shelter under the wings of thy word. That's how we come when we pray. That's how we come when we celebrate the sacraments. We come with empty hands. We have nothing to offer. The only thing that we have is our sin that rises up against us daily. And therefore we pray, Lord, bless us. I have nothing, only sin. But may I find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Supply my need. Is that your prayer this morning? Supply my need. Is that how we have come? And the Lord is going to provide for you this morning. Notice God's providence here. Verse 3. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now, children, maybe you wonder, what does that mean? Her hap was to light on the part. Now, her hap means, literally, it means her chanced. And light on the part, come to the part of that field that belonged to Boaz. To that part, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. So, children, it just so happened. It just so happened that she found herself in the portion that belonged to Boaz, related to Elimelech. Just so happened. I think you are supposed to smile a little bit, because we all know, is life happenstance? No. Life is full of God's providence. God rules. God reigns. Behind the scenes, He is all in control. The wheels of providence here in the life of Ruth are turning. She doesn't see it. And that's how often it goes in our lives too. When we are children of God, we often can see exactly what the Lord is doing in our lives. It's just as Flavel, one of the Puritans, said, providence, when God rules and reigns over every little detail of our lives, providence is like a Hebrew word. Do you know that, children, what you do with Hebrew? You have to read from right to left instead of this way. So you read it backwards. That's what Flavel said. Hebrew you read backwards. Providence is like that too. You can't understand it when you are before something. But it's often better read backwards. God's wheels are turning in the life of Ruth. What do you believe about the providence of God? It was her hap to. It just so happens she came to the portion of the field that belongs to Boaz. God's providence is one of the great blessings of the Christian life. Nothing happens by chance. All out of His fatherly hand. Now notice also, Ruth's godliness here. Yes, there she went to the fields. She had confessed the Lord. There was this true grace and this work of the Holy Spirit in her heart. But you wonder, how do we see it? How do we see it? She confessed the Lord. How? Well, you see a godly attitude. When you compare a little bit to Naomi, there's no grumbling, there's no self-pity, there's nothing of that. She's simply doing the next thing. She's simply trying to be faithful in this situation. What else do we see? Children, Naomi was godly, and you saw that in the way she was working. Those reapers, when she came to the field, they were looking. They were watching her. Verse 7, we see that one of those who oversaw the harvest, he notices something in Ruth. She's a godly lady. She's working nonstop from morning till noon. She it says in verse 7 that the only thing she did for a moment was to set aside. It says here that she tarried a little in the house. That means she probably just, except for the time that she was a little bit in the house of the Lord, the rest she was just working. She was diligent. That shows godliness in our lives. Diligence. There's something more about Ruth here to say about her godliness. How do we see it? We see it in verse 11. In verse 11, we see it as well. There Boaz starts to talk to her. And he says, "It hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband. And how you have left everything. Your former life. You have left everything and that to care for your mother-in-law. I know it. I know your care." Boaz knew it, and the people noticed it. What else do we see in Ruth's life that shows us godliness on display? Well, the way she responds to Boaz. She doesn't respond in a proud way. No, she responds with humble gratitude. Humble gratitude. What do we read? Verse 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger?" You see. Why me? Why did Boaz take notice of me when he started talking to her? "I'm just a stranger," she says. "Why is he so great, gracious to me?" You see, this whole world is filled with a sense of entitlement. I must have this, or I must have that. I deserve this, or I deserve that. But that's not what we see here with Ruth. The opposite. I don't deserve this. She comes with empty hands. I don't deserve this. All comes from the Lord. That's what humility recognizes in our lives. The Lord doesn't need to do anything, give anything to me. Everything that we receive is a gift from the Lord. Everything. If we begin to understand that, beloved congregation, and how we need to learn that in times like these, in times of trouble, then grumbling changes into gratitude. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. God doesn't need to make our life easy. God doesn't need to give what you and I want. But we come with empty hands and say, Lord, fill them. Look upon us in grace. We shelter under thy wings. It's only by grace that we are saved, not of ourselves. Every believer here this morning will recognize that. Once there was a time that we, like Ruth as it were without Christ, and aliens from the commonwealth and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, Ephesians 2 verse 12 says. By grace you are saved. Ruth had taken shelter under the wings of the Lord, and she was changed. She had confessed, and she had turned away. She had left everything behind, her old life, and she was serving the Lord under the shadow of his wings. And she had said, as it were, with Thomas, my Lord and my God. And she has taken refuge under his wings, and everything is of grace. And that's what you see here in Ruth's life. You see a humility that pervades her life, that comes through grace, that works, that God works in us. Why me? Why does he care for me? Why can I glean on the Lord's field and find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Some of you might be listening. You don't know these things in your heart. Living by grace, you have no hope. You are a stranger from the covenant of promise. You are without God in the world. Or that you would come to the field this morning and find that God provides grace. And that he would open your eyes for the beauty and glory of God. And that you would come with empty hands, with sinful hands, and say, Lord, do what needs to be done in my life. So that my heart might be satisfied not with the things of this world, but satisfied in God. Ruth feels an outsider. Ruth feels a stranger. Even after she has confessed, my God, thy God, my God. Thy people, my people. But here the Lord is bringing her close. And when God brings someone close to himself, it's mere grace. It's only because of his character. It's only because of his gracious wings under which we may take refuge. Ruth had said with Psalm 91, this beautiful verse is, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. In him will I trust. And so what she found true is that the first part of that psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Children, Ruth feels an outsider. But God is our safe place when we take refuge in him and in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. There is shadow under his wings, his protecting wings. Children, Ruth feels an outsider, but that's not how Boaz treats her. That brings us to our second thought here. Our text says, the Lord recompense thy work and thy full and a full reward be given thee of the Lord of Israel, Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Now let's think about those wings for a moment, children. What does that mean? What is that? Well, if you go to the tabernacle and you know about the ark in the most holy place, there are these wings of angels. And the Lord had said, from there I will speak to you. Is that what they mean? The cherubim, the angels, where God communes with his people? Or think about what God said in Deuteronomy, that he would be an eagle when his people feel like being in the wilderness. He would be like an eagle carrying his children, as it were, upon his wings. Or would it be that beautiful picture? I think you know this picture, children, of a mother hen and her chicks. And then there's danger. And they all scurry. When the mother hen warns the little chicks, they come, scurry under the wings, safe under his wings. Whatever is in mind here, one thing is clear. Under the wings of the Lord, there is a safe place, sheltering under his wings in a time of need is the best thing we can do. Psalm 57 verse 1 says, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. By grace, through faith, we can come, take our refuge in the Lord and shelter under the Lord's wings. And then wherever we are, that's the safest place to be. That's the safest place to be. Wherever we are in this world, under the shadow of the Almighty, under the wings of the Almighty, that's where we are safe. So there's Ruth in the field, under the shadows of God's wings, and there she meets someone, children. Who is he? It's Boaz. It's Boaz, the owner of the field. Now, let's see who he is. What does this chapter say about him? First of all, it says that he is a wealthy man. He is a mighty man of wealth. That means he is rich. He is important. He is well known, verse 1 tells us. And interestingly, he knew about Ruth and he had heard about Ruth, verse 11 tells us. Ruth didn't know about him at all. And then it says that he was related to Elimelech. He was related through Elimelech to Naomi. That's important to remember. Then we see his godly behavior. We saw something in Ruth already in the first point, but now we see his godly behavior in the way he greets his workers, verse 4. He says, "The Lord be with thee." And the answer is of the workers is, "The Lord bless thee." There's respectfulness in these words. And these words show that he has a deep desire to bless other people with his words. Is that why we speak and how we speak? That's also how he treats Ruth. Because when he talks there a little bit with that overseer and his eyes go over the field and then suddenly, "Who's that? Who's that?" He asks. Well, the overseer says, "Is that Moabitish woman? He's from the fields of Moab." "Yeah, well, yes, she has been working hard for me all the day long, but Moabitish woman." But that's not how Boaz treats her. Listen to how Boaz treats her. Verse 8. "Then Boaz said unto Ruth, Hearest thou not my daughter. My daughter. That's not how Ruth sees herself necessarily. That's not what the worker called her. But it does echo verse 2 where Naomi says, go to the field, my daughter. Why would Boaz say something like that to Ruth, my daughter? How can he? Isn't she a Moabite? Didn't we consider earlier that Moabites were cursed to the third generation, were not welcome in the temple of God? Children, do you know who was Boaz's mother? It was Rahab, a prostitute from Jericho. What happened to her? She was included in God's people. When she hung that scarlet thread, when she confessed, the God of Israel is God, she was a heathen. She was an outsider. Can we now understand why Boaz says, you've taken shelter under the wings. Listen to me, my daughter. Like Ruth, every believer here this morning receives a new identity when we have come to that gracious confession, the Lord is my God. When we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, we belong to God's people. We are accepted in whom? Not in ourselves, not in our own righteousness. We are accepted in Jesus Christ. And we are then accepted as Christ. God looks upon us as he does upon Christ, who is his beloved son. And therefore he can say to sinners like you and me, my daughter, my son. In times past, Peter says, we were not a people, but now we are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy in Jesus Christ through faith. When we shelter under his wings, we are sons and daughters of the living God. We have a new identity and we trust under the wings, the shadow of his wings. We trust in Christ. And so God can say, my daughter, my son, you belong to my family. What a contrast for someone who does not know that this morning, who is still outside Jesus Christ, who still have not come to trust under the shadow of his wings to you. I say that the Lord Jesus is still that one who said about Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers the chickens under her wings? And what does God say to you? But you would not. He said that weeping, come under the shadow of my wings. Come reap from all the benefits that Christ has earned on the cross of Calvary. And what did you say? And you would not. Is that what you say? Or is there a cry perhaps in your heart, born by the Holy Spirit, Lord, bless me with the fields and with the food of that greater Boaz, Jesus Christ. Back to Boaz for a moment. He is generous. He says, go not to glean in another field in verse 8 and 9. Don't go anywhere else. Cling to the maidens or to the girls. Don't let your eyes go to another field, he says there. And don't go after them. And he says also, have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Do you see his generosity here? His generosity. Don't go anywhere else, Ruth. This is a safe place. Cling to my servant girls. I talk to the young men. You're safe. You're safe. No one can touch you. And if you need water, Ruth, just go and help yourself. And if that's not enough, he says to her when they are about to go and eat, and he says, come, come, Ruth. Come, take the bread. Take the vinegar. Dip it in. Take some of the parched corn. Rest for a moment. Doesn't that remind us of the beautiful verse, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God? Therefore the children of man put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of thy pleasure. God comes with, through Boaz here, to Ruth with extravagant hospitality. He goes even a step further than what he needs to do. He provides for her. He protects her. What kindness. Look at his kindness. When he speaks to her, he says, my daughter. When he speaks to her in our text, he says, may a full reward be given from the Lord, under whose wings thou hast come to trust. Why? Why is Boaz doing this? Because God told him so in his word. God says, you care for the strangers. You care for, you don't reap the corners of your field. You allow the poor to reap. And when we read those passages in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, what does God say? Why? What is the reason? Why does God want his people to treat other people well? Well, it says, I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of Egypt. That's the reason I saved you. Remember, I saved you. And that word of God is able to transform us all the way. It has transformed Boaz. It's the grace of God on display. And what a beautiful godly example we have here about what it means to have a transformed life. It's an example helpful for looking for a godly partner. Boaz, Ruth, you see godliness on display. It's a beautiful example for married couples, how we treat one another. It's a beautiful example of what it means to be the family of God in the church. It's a beautiful example how we treat one another in society. We remember what God has delivered us from. That's important. This godly example here in Boaz, but there's something far more great, far more beautiful here. Because, beloved, here we have a portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ. The greater Boaz. Isn't he a wealthy man? He is the creator of heaven and earth. He owns the cattle upon 1,000 hills. He says, I don't need to be served by humans for our sakes. He became poor, it says, so that he might make many rich. When we come with our spiritual poverty, he can fill us. And beloved, this greater Boaz is related to us. He is from our flesh and blood. He became man. He took upon himself flesh. He was born in Bethlehem. Came to the field of this world, and unlike Boaz, what do we see? He came, yes, he came to bless sinners. Boaz came to bless his workers, but he came to bless sinners and strangers. But this world rejected him. they knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But this one is related to us, flesh and blood. And how godly he was. He was perfect. He was sinless. He was like God. He always did his will, and he, in his godliness, he spoke comfort. No one ever spoke like this man. He spoke words of comfort to those who didn't expect anything. He can say to you this morning, my son, my daughter, what a family, what a family line. Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Mary, all to include strangers and Gentiles into the family of God. That's his family. And how generous he is. He says, come to the meal that I have prepared for you. Come, eat, let your heart be satisfied with the fatness of my house. Enjoy what I have earned on the cross of Calvary. And how his kindness, he protects, he provides. When we are starving from sin and death and hell, he speaks comforting words. He says to you, I know your works. I know your charity and your service and your faith and your patience and thy works. And that the last will be more than the first. I know your works. I see you. That you're sheltering under my wings. This man receives sinners and eats with them. What kindness. And when he comes to that field and he says, the Lord bless you, we will truly be blessed indeed. No, he himself came to the field. This Boaz came to the field, to this world, to bless us. God with us, Emmanuel. So that we can say, the Lord has been my help. Psalm 63, verse 7. Therefore, in the shadow of his wings, I will rejoice. I will rejoice. This is the greater Boaz. Do you see his beauty? Take refuge under the shadow of his wings. Look to the finished work on his cross and in his grave and his ongoing intercession, guiding and protecting and providing for his church. He can save us to the uttermost, and he will. Take refuge under the shadow of his wings. And you will come back from the fields refreshed. Children, how did Ruth come to the field? Do you remember? Empty hands. Now, how does she return from the field? An ephah of barley. Now you say, what is an ephah? That's 22 liters or half a bushel, or someone told me yesterday, 6-gallon pill. Just a big pill. And she has all made it into grain kernels. And there she comes. I don't know how she carried it. Maybe she had something to carry it, or she carried it maybe in her apron or something. I don't know exactly. But there she comes. She's, as it were, we see her almost staggering under the load. And there she comes, and she comes to Naomi. And can you imagine? Naomi gasped for air. Where did you glean today? Where did you glean today? Blessed be he, she bursts out in praise. Blessed be he that take knowledge of you. Verse 20. Who is this kind man? And then she says, his name is Boaz. Naomi says, well, that's our near kin. He's the one next or near our near kinsman. He is related. Do you see her mind going? He could possibly redeem us. Maybe she doesn't say it here, but don't you think the wheels are spinning there? You never know what God is going to do. And in these last verses, the only thing she says, stay there, Ruth, stay there. You know, in this way, the Lord is caring not just for Ruth, who came to the field. God is caring also for Naomi, who came with empty hands and said, call me Mara. I went away full and now I am empty. And here is the opposite is true about Ruth. She came with empty hands and now she has full hands. And you know why we know that the Lord was caring for Naomi too? It's verse 20. Blessed be he that is Boaz of the Lord. And then in the Hebrew, it's clear that the Lord is the one who has not left his kindness to the living and to the dead. Do you see that? Last time we said she didn't know exactly about the kindness. Here we see the Lord has not left his kindness. And that word is such a beautiful and rich word in the Hebrew. It's chesed. It is loyal love. It is loving kindness. It's God's trustworthiness, God's faithfulness, God's steadfast love, his covenant love, which will not waver, which is ultimately displayed to us in the Lord Jesus Christ as nowhere else. That was the answer to Naomi's prayer. May the Lord show kindness to you, Ruth. And here she says, yes, the Lord has shown kindness, loving kindness. The Lord's blessing has come. Ruth, you have taken refuge under the shadow of God's wings, and the Lord has provided. Look at this. Look at this. And the Lord has protected. Look at this. Hands full. Hearts full, I pray this morning for all of us. Whether we've come here or whether we stayed at home, hands full. The Lord can provide. Hearts full. May it be so. I just want to ask one more question. Under whose wings are you sheltering this morning? Under whose wings are you trusting? If they are the Lord's wings, our text will be true. There will be reward. There will be a full recompense. There will be safety, there will be provision, there will be protection. Whatever happens in your life, there will be a full reward in eternity when we shelter under his wings. But if you say this morning, I'm trusting under the wings of my own wings or whoever's wings they are, I must say to you, there will be ruin instead of reward. So there's still room under the wings of him who is almighty. Under the one who said, come, I want to gather you as a hen her chicks. Don't say that you don't want to. He gathers you to himself. Come. And be blessed under the shadow of his wings. Amen.